All right, now, it's kind of amazing to me how the Lord puts things together sometimes. I haven't talked to Seth since Wednesday, I don't guess, except for a message or two on there. But, last Sunday preached for over 2 hours. Good thing I didn't try that in one service, but on being seduced by the devil. And I've been talking to you along through for the last few weeks here. I've mentioned this a few times that you know, this was going to be. And maybe I should have talked about this before we talked about what we did last week. But I talked about the seduction of the devil and how that he's doing it. It's what causes, you know, this apostasy. This is where it's coming from. He sweet talks you. He lies to you. He stirs your emotions until you swallow the bait. Till he gets you to do what he wants to with you. And that's where, you know, we talked about that in the context of the church. But at the same time, you know, I tried to run a parallel with, you know, just life, marriage, relationships, all of that. And I've mentioned this that I've been thinking about for weeks here. The difference in men and women and how that love is manifested. How love is looked for by each of them. How they respond to it so differently. So differently. We're living in a generation here that has totally thrown away the foundation and destroyed it all. God created man, and he created him male and female. He put a great division in the human race. They want to erase that. No wonder the devil wants to attack that. It's foundational. It's very foundational. But, you know, a lot of the things Seth said this morning in Sunday school, good message. It's going to interweave with this quite a lot. So let's read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. It's a very commonly known verse. You know it before I even read it. But it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, another very well-known verse. We sing it a lot. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." All right, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good Sunday school lesson. Thank you for everybody that's here this morning. Lord, everybody that'll listen to this. Lord, I pray that you would help us with it, that we'd be clear. And Lord, it's been difficult preparing this. It's been more of a struggle than it normally is for me. And I pray you'd help me to not be confusing with these things, Lord, but Spirit of God, that you'll make it clear, that you'll help me to be able to say these things in a way that it'll be understood. And it'll help us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, we hear a lot about the love of God. But in practice, we see very little of it. We all know the verses that speak of God's love, and we have a pretty shallow understanding of what God's love is really like. We do. You know, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Yeah, we know that, don't we? We've all heard that. Well, everybody's heard that verse. God so loved the world. Then in John 15:13, Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." You know, we talk about the love of God, but our concept of it don't go nearly deep enough. And we don't translate it into our practical walk and life with God and with others. We don't. We think, well, that's God's love, and we're different. You know, it's a different deal. No, it's not. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." That's oneness. Love is what makes us one when it's real love. But see, that's the issue, you know. That's the issue that we all have to face. The devil's been really successful at deceiving everybody into what love really is. Oh my goodness, if I could get that across this morning. You know, our understanding of love is like skipping a rock across the pond. We just barely get it wet. but we're not immersed in the knowledge of the love of God. Now, you know, I grew up and we didn't have swimming pools. We had creeks and ponds and that kind of stuff. And we skipped rocks. That was a big deal. Go throw rocks in the pond. Now, I mean, this generation don't know much about that. You don't throw rocks in a pool. You know, if you find one in it, you get it out of there. It's going to punch a hole in your liner. But there's a lot to be learned from just practical things of life. You know, it's one thing to throw a rock and sink it. It's another thing to skip it plumb across to the other side. Thing about it, I thought about it, you skip a rock and you want to skip it as many times as you can, but almost always it'll skip 2, 3, 4 times and then sink. Hopefully that'd be the way it would be in your life, in this knowledge of the and understanding of the love of God. You skip a few times, but finally you learn. Finally it gets a hold of you. Finally you're drowning in it instead of just skipping over it. Now God made man in his own image, and the Bible says male and female created he them. God divided mankind a lot like he divided himself when he created Adam. Did you ever think of that? And he did it on purpose. I said a while ago that the man and wife is the image of God and the church. And the Bible is very, very clear about that. There's no doubt. There's no question about that. We're to look at this. Our relationship is to be patterned after the way God loves. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So there's one verse that just that clearly tells us how it is. When God created Adam, he really, in a sense, divided himself. He breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. And Adam became a living soul, the Son of God, made in the image and likeness of God, Adam. He put him in his own realm, in his own domain, where he was to have dominion, where he was to rule, and God could come and visit him. God duplicated himself, in a sense. Now, male and female represent God and mankind. After God created man, he divided man. The same way. He created the woman out of the man. He didn't create the man out of the woman. He created the woman out of the man. He made Adam of the dust of the ground, but he made the woman out of Adam. She is part of him. But yet they're divided. But yet to come back together, God has a plan for that. Their coming back together is to be a real life illustration to them, an example of what it is for a lost sinner to come back to God and to be brought back into union with God. Now, the love of God is most clearly manifested when it is seen between a man and woman who truly love one another according to God's definition of love. Now, since this relationship is foundational to understanding God and his love toward us, it's the number one target of the devil. That's why marriage has been so attacked in our day, in every way, to try to tear it completely down. Destroy homes, destroy marriages, get them started on the wrong foundation. It's easy to do. And especially in a world like we're living in. I don't know how many of you saw in the news yesterday, but it said that NASA's charged the first crime committed in outer space. And this woman, astronaut, on the International Space Station apparently hacked her wife's, her estranged wife's information and was looking at all of her finances and all that. Crazy. See? Now the world looks at it and says, yeah, that's okay. That's marriage. No, it's not. But I mean, that's far-fetched, but it's not far-fetched anymore. That's the world we live in. That's the generation we live in. So it's no wonder that the devil attacks this, because it is most important. He's been very successful in destroying a proper understanding of love. Do you think two lesbians love one another? Now, come on. Not with any kind of love that we're going to talk about this morning. Not with the right kind of love. They may love each other with the same kind of love that most people do when they get married. I'll give you that, because they don't love each other either. They're lusting after each other. They're infatuated with one another. They're two selfish people trying to please themselves with somebody else by getting what they can get from, say, just like the boy you was talking about there, guy, whatever it was. It was, he wanted the wife to wash his clothes and do his dishes and cook for him and all this. He had all these needs, but he didn't have any idea what he was supposed to do for her. But that's how most people get married. They look for somebody that'll please me, that'll help me, that'll build me up. I mean, something that'll make me look better and serve me. Well, go buy you a servant, a monkey or something like that, a robot. You can buy a robot nowadays. Men and women are different characters, different creatures. And the differences in the way they look for and manifest love are what makes it easy for the devil to deceive them. Did you hear me? Now, you can, if you don't, you know, if the things I can say right here, I know exactly what everybody thinks and says. And to the degree to which your mind goes there reveals how much influenced you are by the world's philosophies and the world's vain deceits. Men and women are different creatures. And it is a fact of nature, a fact of life. They want to deny all that. Women are equal to men. No, they're not. Thank God, they're not. A woman's place is not, to say a woman's place is in the home is, oh, that's so offensive now. But I was laughing the other night. I told her, well, you know, I've never heard a man get offended because somebody says his place is on a job somewhere. His place is to work. What if men did that? What if men said, I'm sick of all this? I ain't going to do this. I'm just going to sit at home. That's what I want to do. Yeah, that's not the commonly heard thing, is it? No, they're two different creatures. They have two different natures. They respond to love differently. They manifest their love differently. And so that's what makes it easy for the devil to deceive them in this matter of love. Both being selfish creatures, unregenerate men and women are looking for something for themselves. That's how they approach this love thing, what they call love. Romance. That's another worldly fantasy. The word means fantasy. Romance means fantasy. That's what it means. Look it up in the dictionary. But that's what women want. That's what they respond to. That's what they look for and seek for. That's how they're looking for love. If somebody, some man, will romance them. Oh, well, I guarantee you, I promise you, you just flash yourself a little bit and somebody will romance you. But it ain't going to be love. You're completely off the rails, completely out of the field. And looking for love. Because that ain't what love is. And that ain't what it's about. And that's not how it starts. And that's not how it's maintained. That's not how it exists. But selfish, sinful men and women, that's how they look for love. That's why dating is so popular. Because it's fantasy. It's not reality. Somebody said the other day, I don't know, it was one of y'all, said dating is practicing for divorce. That's what it is. It's not benevolence that is the root motive for seeking someone to love, but rather the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You know, they're not seeking somebody to be a blessing to, but someone who will be a blessing to themselves. Now think about that a minute. When you're raising your children, try to think about that. Are they going to be somebody's blessing? Are they going to be somebody's curse for life? You know? Do you want to get married so that you can be a blessing to some man, you girls? Or do you want to get married so you can find some man to be your tool? You guys, do you want to get married so you'll have some woman that'll serve you and do whatever you want and just follow you around and do what and work maybe to make more money for you and all of that. There's a lot of guys do that nowadays. Since women are doctors and nurses and all of that, and they can make good money, a lot of guys like to do that. They like to find one that can make good money so they can sit home and play video games. Yeah. That's not the right motive. You ain't going to find love that way. If you do, it'll be a long process of heartache and trouble and trials, and it'll be a miracle in the end if it ever happens. It just doesn't happen that way. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. Now, do you think King Solomon loved with godly love all those strange women? Is that the kind of love we're talking about here? What'd he want them for? Well, I guess to fill up all the crowds he had. You know, 700 concubines and 300 wives, ain't that right? 1,000 women. No, he didn't love them all. No, they didn't love him either. No, sir. It was just a convenient, mutual, beneficiary arrangement, you know. Arrangement for mutual benefit. They got to be the king's wife and have a high life, and he got to pick and choose out of all the kingdoms the best there was, prettiest there was. Called it love. No, that's not love. How many of you women would call that love? Oh, no. If any of you men would call that love, you got a bad understanding. It ain't love. Now, when men seek for a wife without God's influence and authority in their life, they seek for a woman that pleases their eyes, that pleases their flesh, and that would make them look good in front of others. They're not seeking someone to be a blessing to. They're seeking somebody after the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He'll try to impress her with gifts, with his strength, with his success, or with his skills. Is that right? He'll try to convince her that he's more than what he really is. He'll put on his best show for her. When a woman without God seeks for a husband, she looks for kind of the same things. Tell you the truth. She watches and listens for any attention that is given her. Telling you the truth there. Women want attention. That's what they're looking for. That's what they respond to. Now remember, this is all about what we talked about last week. The seduction of the devil, of the church by the devil. See? Right. What does he do? He flatters you. He makes you feel good. He gives you attention. He's always on your side. He's always pointing out to you how you just ain't got it as good as you ought to have it, and how you deserve better, and how that everybody mistreats you and everybody overlooks you. So she responds to attention. Now you can't tell me that it ain't true. You can see it in the littlest girls as they grow up. You know, Libby come in here this morning with a new dress on and just wagging it around and holding it up. I mean, Dorothy's done it since she was little bitty. That. What? Why does a girl need that? Well, I'm not saying it's wrong to tell a little girl she's pretty, or to tell your wife she's pretty, or to say nice things to her, or anything like it. That's not the point. But don't get the cart before the horse when you try to win somebody with that. Mm-mm. You're on the wrong road to love. She makes herself very vulnerable. A woman that's looking for love and that's lost, she'll make herself very vulnerable to flattery and any kind of attention. You know, Kim, you looked up in the dictionary and talked about that last week, about the safest, the woman that's safest from being seduced is by virtue and all of this, and trusting God and knowing God. That's the safest place to be But a woman that's lost makes herself real vulnerable to flattery and any kind of attention. They'll respond. She tries to impress him with her body to try to get and keep his attention. We're talking about a lost woman. A woman without God in the control of her life and mind and heart. This is what she will do. That's why we live in Sodom. That's why we live in a world that's full of nakedness and sensuality and all of that. We live in a world where a woman thinks her greatest success and honor is to be naked in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. Because she's trying to impress her with her body and get his attention. And she'll paint, primp, color, squeeze it into any shape that she hopes will attract him. How do men and women go after what they think they're love when they think they're going after love? How do they do? I'm telling you just how it is. Everybody can spit and holler and cuss if they want to, but I'm just telling you the way it is. And it's obvious to see. If anybody's got any sense, you can watch people. I've been alive for 62 years, and I've learned a few things about people. And this is a fact of life. Men and women are different, and I know how they act. And I know when things are going on. I was in a business here in town this week, and I seen something that just disturbed me because I know both of them. I know one of them pretty well. I know the other in kind of. And I just seen the interaction that went on there. And I thought, your husband better be a-watching. Because this is going on. I ain't stupid. Been alive long enough to know how these things work. I've watched it happen scores of times over and over and over. Wise up! I know how it happens in churches. I know when it starts. I can see the little flirtations and the little carried away hearts and minds and infatuations going on with things of the world. And I know what's coming. We could learn if we would just, and we'd get some understanding and wisdom if we just pay attention. Now, when a man truly loves, I'm going to give you some gold if you'll have it this morning. When a man truly loves, it'll be manifested by unwavering commitment. How do we know what love is? God. That's how we know. Watch God. Know God. Study God. In His Word, all these things it talks about God loving, look into it a little deeper, and you'll see how to recognize real love. You girls better listen up right now. When a man truly loves, it'll be manifested by unwavering commitment. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So I've mentioned a couple that got married, and it was a Jewish woman? Anyway, it's a testimony about how that, they got married, and she didn't even hardly know him. But the first year they were married, there was no intimacy or anything. I mean, it was just a time of her learning to trust him and have confidence in him. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. You better not fall for some guy that'll just tell you how pretty you are and how hot you are. And that word meant a whole different thing when I was young, let me tell you. And it wasn't nice. And you shouldn't take it as a compliment when some whoremonger tells you you're hot. That's cheap, profane, demeaning talk. I can't understand why a woman would want it. They don't want that. They don't want to be demeaned or debased or anything like that. They don't want to wash dishes is demeaning, but for a guy to call her hot's some kind of compliment. What's the matter with her? They're all crazy to think like that. Ignorant and foolish. Commitment begets obedience to what is true and what is right. Love is intricately tied to obedience in the Word of God. There's no way you can get around it. Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 23 said, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. He didn't say if a woman. He didn't say if a person. He said, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Now that's how a man does. When a man loves, he'll do what's right. And he'll be committed. And that'll be the driving thing behind him, not his lust, not his possessiveness. None of that. It'll be right. He'll want to do right. Anything called love that does not manifest itself in obedience to truth is not love. But it is lust, or it's emotion, or it's infatuation. Do you see what's happening in the churches? It's not truth that's honored. Truth is evil spoken of. Truth is thrown out the door. Truth don't matter. Emotion matters. All these feelings matter. Having a good time, feeling good. Praise. Praise for what? Me. Yes. Tell me how good I am. Tell me how I don't have any responsibility. Tell me how God has just done everything for me, given me everything, and I don't have to do nothing. I ain't responsible for nothing. Nothing is required of me. I get an email from a friend, an old friend from long ago, and he forwards it to me every week, but it's Christian news articles to do that. Well, I saw one yesterday, and it was the grandson of Billy Graham. He was in a church down there, pastoring a church in Florida. Well, he had several affairs with women in the church, adulterous affairs. They found out, they fired him. Immediately, another church down the road hired him. So he had some affairs with some women there. And so they defrocked him and they fired him and put him out. Can't be preaching if he's going to do that. So he's going to start his own church now. He's fixing to fire up now. And he said this, I read it to her, but he said, and I didn't write down, so I'm not going to say it word for word, but he said that he was rejoicing in the fact that it didn't matter if he fell or what he did, Christ had done all that needed done for him, so he was safe and God would never forsake him. And you want to call that love? No, that's not the way God loves. Love is strictly tied to obedience. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will do right. You better get that, girls. Now, I'm talking about a man. This is the way men are. Men are made in the image and likeness of God. And they will manifest real love the way God manifests real love. Amen. Commitment. Make up his mind. You know, when a man makes up his mind, maybe I understand this a little better because I didn't have a lot of the influences that other people have, but you know, I just never was that way. I didn't, you know, when I was in high school, I didn't want a different girl every weekend. That wasn't my way of thinking at all. No. You know, when I made up my mind, I made up my mind. That was it. And, you know, to this day, I can't imagine wanting anybody else. Now, I know it's hard to discern that going in, but here's some things that will help you with it. Commitment will beget obedience to what is right. So is he going to do right? Or will he fudge on it? Will he cheat just a little? Will he hide? Will he try to get you to hide things? Does he cross the line? Or does he protect you? I'm getting ahead of myself here, but let me back up here. Stick with it here. Commitment begets faithfulness and steadfastness. Commitment will steady the boat. He'll be steady. He won't be up and down. You won't have to wonder where he's at. You won't have to wonder what's happened to him because he didn't show up. He didn't call. The communication's been broken. There's trust. You know? Trust. When a man truly loves, he'll be so committed that he'll be willing to die for the object of that love. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And that's exactly what God has done to manifest his love toward us. What did he do? He died for us. When a man truly loves, his passion will be, are you listening to me? Providing, protecting, nurturing, protecting her against evil, even from himself. He won't be trying to get you in situations where you'd be compromised or where there would be any danger of it. Fathers would be wise to look for these things in a man who comes courting their daughter. Is he protective of her or is he possessive of her? Remember that. That's some real important little wisdom right there. Does his love for her that he proclaims and your love for her have anything in common? I'm talking to you fathers. You see some young guy come along, says he loves your daughter. Does the way he loves her and the way you love her have anything in common? Or is it completely different? That's why our dad told me, you don't know what love is. I didn't. He was 100% right. But what could he do back then? You know, I didn't have none of this stuff. Nobody ever told me nothing. You know, you talking about in Sunday school about all this, you know, wisdom and protection and stuff. And you know, but I grew up in a different world. I lived in a different world back then than what we got now. And it is absolutely, that's an understatement. But there were just some things that were just given. I mean, it was just taken, you just knew it and that's the way it was. Commitment begins faithfulness and steadfastness. Steady, faithful, consistent. All right? When a woman truly loves, it'll be manifested also by commitment. This is the whole foundation of the marriage covenant, is commitment. She will not be listening to or paying any attention to the flirtation of anyone else from now on. You can't have trust if that's going on. There's no trust. A man, you know, I've known a few, and I ain't going to say who they are, but, I mean, they were very close to me. But while they were going with, dating, courting, whatever you want to call it, their wife, she went out with somebody else. Just because she had to try to get her, she just had doubts and she was just trying to make sure. Well, that's more than a red flag, guys. I mean, that's a killer. That would kill the deal for me. Can't trust. She'll do that now. She'll do it after we're married. Nope, she'll not be looking for anything like that. She'll not be listening to or paying any attention to the flirtations of anyone else from now on. A woman who truly loves will be completely satisfied with the one she loves. You hear me? She'll not be looking for new thrills and new experiences. Her heart has all it needs to be satisfied with the one she loves. Now that's what love does to a woman. Boy, it's awful quiet. But I'm telling you the truth. I mean, it's just the way it is. I know the world, all the movies, all the music, all the stuff of this world, all their philosophies, all their stupid ideas tell you different. They're always inciting you to something else. That's what's going on in the churches too. The old hymns ain't good enough. They're boring. You know. This preaching like you're doing, that's just not, we don't like that. We want to hear about success and we want to hear about love. Well, I'm preaching about love, but it ain't the right kind of message. I'm not preaching the right kind of love. See? They want something else, something that stirs their feelings and gets them all emotional. That's all a fantasy. They want romanced. That's what's going on in the churches. Is it the men doing that? Is it the men who've created that atmosphere of that? No, it's a haven for ungodly men. Yes, sir, buddy. It's just like old Brother Shepherd said one time. He said, if you don't want mosquitoes around your house, don't pile up tires around your house. And he said, if you don't want adultery and fornication in the church, you better burn it out of there. Don't make an environment where it's conducive to all of that. And when you got churches that are nothing but emotion and high and feel good, it's as flesh. And everything goes. You may keep the facade of religion on top of it and keep trying to cover it up, but it just keeps breaking out everywhere. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. And the world's looking on now and saying, yeah, boy, what kind of love they got. And the churches have become a mockery to the world because of the immorality, and they're believing and chasing and after the same kind of love the world is. That ain't love. And we got so much better to go after, and then we do that. Her heart has all it needs, and a woman who truly loves, listen to this, will respect and reverence her husband. Ephesians chapter 5, same chapter, just a few verses down from where it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church, also loved the church and gave himself for it. Write down a few verses, 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. The word means to stand in awe of. Well, what's she supposed to stand in awe of? His good looks? His muscles? No. What is it? His commitment, which breeds faithfulness and obedience to the truth. A woman ought to stand in awe of her husband because he is faithful, steady, does what's right, treats her right, does what he has to make sure that right is the thing in their home, in their relationship. Amen. Does the church, you know, does the church nowadays, do they reverence the Lord? Obviously, no. Why, he's not even worth dressing up a little bit to come to church. You just come with your curlers in your hair and your nightgown on and unbathed and, you know, didn't brush your teeth or nothing. He ain't worth it. This is what I am. He's just going to get used to it. That's the attitude of the church. They don't reverence God. Why don't they? Well, because women don't reverence their husband anymore. Because that's all been washed away with feminism and women's lib and all this upside down thinking by everybody. Women are equal to men. Why in the world would a woman want to give up the role that God has made for her? Why? A lot of people get married. I'd venture to say, well, I'm sure most people get married and they're not really, they don't really love each other. They think they're in love. But they're infatuated with one another or with the idea of being married. But they're not really, they don't really love each other. That's just something that just doesn't happen without time passing, experience, faithfulness, trustworthiness. Love is born eventually, slowly. Real love. I remember, and maybe I shouldn't use illustrations like this, but I remember here a while back, somebody put a little video. It was out of a news. No, it was a news article I seen on there. This cop down south somewhere, it was his dash cam, and he drove up to this place, and this man and woman was just laying out here in the middle of this open roundabout in the woods, you know. I mean, there was a power line and stuff around, but, you know, they was meth heads or something, I guess, but they was just laying there asleep in the middle of the day, sunshine down. Well, nobody wondered if they was dead or what, so somebody called a cop, so the cop drove up. And as he's driving up, he sees this big old rattlesnake crawling towards him, and they're, you know, out. Well, the cop, with his body cam, he got out, and he run over there, and he said, hey, you know, and wake up. And the man raised up a little bit, and he said, don't move. There's a rattlesnake just right at you there. You know what the man did? He jumped up and run, left her laying there. He ran as fast as he could, just like a jackrabbit, and left her laying there. He loved her, don't you know? Is that the way real love would respond? If a man really loved his wife, would he do that? Well, no. He wouldn't do that for her. Wouldn't do that about any of his children. Anybody else that he really loves, he wouldn't do that. You remember two guys, the bear got after him. And the one said, I don't have to run faster than the bear. I just got to run faster than you. That's love. No, it ain't. No. No greater love hath any man than this, than man to lay down his life for his friends. Love is about giving, not taking. Love is about being a blessing to somebody. It's about esteeming somebody else's life more than your own. That's what love's about. It's not about, you know, I'll love you if you love me. No. We love him because he first loved us. Remember now. And that's the way it works with a woman and a man too. Just for your information. That's the way love is born. He wins her. Just like God wins a lost soul. And he allures her, not with sweet talk and flattery and gifts and all this phony stuff, but by being a man like God's own heart. By doing right, by being faithful, by being committed, by keeping his word, by showing that he's faithful. A woman like that is in very little danger of being drawn away by somebody else if she reverences her husband. So you get a church that'll worship God in spirit and in truth, and they're not likely to fall for all this contemporary junk or all this false doctrine that's floating around everywhere, this goofy nonsense. So how men and women respond to one another differs greatly depending upon whether God is in authority in their life or not. You see that. There's a great difference to how they respond, how they manifest love with God in their life, with God not in their life. Many times this is the matter which reveals the condition of the heart. You know, you see a lot of young people who seem to be wanting to do right and serve God while they're growing up, but when the time comes to start seeking a husband or wife, their true heart is revealed by the way they go about it and what they respond to. Two from the opposite gender. Watch your kids. See what they respond to. See what they're seeking after. See what they're putting out there to attract. Oh. That goes for boys and girls. True love will not be found any other way but seeking someone to love with the love of God. Romantic love is an invention of the devil and this world. And the world's made it very popular in spite of its utter failure. Everybody now is in a relationship. in a relationship. That means they're trying each other out, and it's only a temporary arrangement. That's completely opposite of what the Bible teaches that love really is. What is the first word I told you this morning? What does a man manifest if he really loves? What is the manifestation? Commitment! I saw somebody, some Christian man that's always putting stuff on Facebook about, you know, religious stuff and Christ and salvation and all of this. And the other day he said, try Jesus. If it don't work out, the devil will take you back. See how much the philosophy of the world, the ungodly philosophy of the world, has infected everybody's minds and their thinking? To even think that way, that's offensive to me to even say those words. Try Jesus. Jesus don't shack with nobody. He won't have you unless you commit fully to Him. This thing of trust and love. You think, well, what happened there in John chapter 6 when they believed on Him, but He didn't believe on them? He didn't commit to them. It says they believed on Him, but He knew their hearts and He didn't commit to them. Well, they's holding back. He knew they wasn't for real. He knew He could not trust them. This God measure of faith God gives, God puts a little faith in you, His faith in you. You understand that. So I said that a while ago, but I think it went over everybody's head there. You know, God, you know, reaches out and I don't mean He takes faith and puts it in you. He has a little bit of faith in you so that you'll choose. The faith of Jesus. What is that? It's when He trusts you. So, we should be able to see how these ungodly concepts of love make it easy for the devil to seduce the shallow professing Christians of this generation. They're like the silly girl who's easily excited and ready to give herself to anyone who'll pay her any attention. Y'all listen to me. That's what the churches have become like. Like a silly schoolgirl. Silly young woman who's so desperate for somebody to pay her attention that she'll just do anything, fall for anything. She'll listen to anybody. First one that comes along's got her. Don't throw away something so valuable for something so cheap. Well, there's just a lot of things I want to say, and I'm not going to say them. The men involved in this seduction are there to take advantage of what is easily available by their ignorance and lust. I'm talking about the churches. The men that are there, I mean, the world's looking on and laughing with the devil, while the churches have become nightclubs, dance halls, rock concerts, and brothels where men and sodomites come to find their prey. That's ugly, but that's the truth, and that's the reality of 2019. The churches are full of it. They've become virtual brothels. And the reaction of everybody is to just rock on. Party on. Let's just have some more activities. Let's just do some more things. Let's just have some more fun. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What is that verse about, if it ain't about what I'm talking about here this morning? We need to learn to love like God loves. That's a big order right there. And we need to unlearn how to love like the world without God does. You need to guard yourself against the infection of this worldly philosophy of love and romance. You need to get that out of your mind. You want to, listen, you're going to pay for it dearly, dearly down the road if you don't. I'm really harping to the young people here this morning because the rest of us, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only one here this morning, but if somebody would have told me these things way back there and I would have listened, I don't know if I'd have listened or not. Probably not. But I didn't hear. But if somebody would have drilled me with this stuff and I would have listened, I can't even imagine, you can't imagine the heartache and the trouble and the sorrow it would have saved me in my life. So, and we need to know the difference very well between the way the world loves, what they call love, and what God calls love, and the way He loves. We need to know the difference very well, and we need to strive to keep ourselves in the love of God. Jude, verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Well, that's it. I'm going to quit. There's a lot of things I wanted to say, meant to say, but I didn't. Didn't say it. But I will say this. I know I won't. Just stand, let's. I'll quit. You know how that goes. Men are more, you know, I hate to say things and be real dogmatic about it, but I'm speaking in general terms here. Men are more inclined to deal according to facts, while women are more inclined to make their choices according to fantasies. Women love fantasy more than men do. I think that's right. Men want the truth. When it comes to these relationships and stuff, they want it right. I want the truth. Women are satisfied to be lied to. That's why the church is like the bride of Christ. See? I mean, see? See? It's all there. If we just have it, we can learn from these things. Mm-mm-mm. Wonder how much difference it'll make in the future. You know, all this that we talk about and preach and teach and everything, I wonder how much difference it'll make in the future. Never know. I had like 3 comments on a message I preached about 2 years ago on the attire of a harlot this week. And you know what one of them said? Last night I got a message. I read it to you, didn't I? This person said, it's a woman, I'm sure, because the way she talked and all, but she said, you know, that she was complimenting and, you know, happy about the message, but she said, I would like to meet this man's wife. Because most preachers are either afraid or they can't say anything like this. Yes, absolutely. Oh, well, think about these things. Make it the guide of your life. You young people, man. And it's real hard when you can just see a wreck coming and you can't stop it. You ever seen a wreck happen? Been there and seen it and it's like... You ever hit a deer? In your mind, you was just like... But it happens real fast, don't it? All wrecks happen real fast. That's kind of what it's like watching people just going at it all wrong. And you just know it's going to be a disaster, barring a miracle from God. So you cry aloud and you spare not. You try to show the right way. But then it's up to everybody else. It's up to you, not me. That's my responsibility is that I've done today. I've done what I was supposed to do. It's been a long time coming. I've been thinking on it and really struggled to prepare for it. So anyway, bow with me and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the message. Thank you for the Sunday school hour. Thank you for the Word of God and the truths that are there that make things so clear for us when we can understand. Thank you for the Spirit of God that helps us and gives us light and understanding through the Word of God. And Lord, I pray it wouldn't be a waste this morning. Lord, I pray our prayers, our words, Lord, the things you've given us here wouldn't be wasted on us. Lord, pray it'd be a thing that would stick in our minds, especially these young people. Lord, help them. Nothing more that I want for them in all of life and eternity than that they find what real love is and that they experience it in this world with another person and that they know what it's like to know the love of God that passeth understanding and the peace that comes with it. Lord, please help us now, I pray, to salvage what we can salvage and, Lord, to go forward in the love of God in Jesus' name. Amen.